Brian Had a Dream. 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Brian.
And welcome once again to the quest for 10,000, our audio journey with Brian as he tries to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. Thank you so much for listening, downloading this podcast, joining this journey with us. We invite you also to go to Brian's Twitter, at 10kmovies, T-E-N-K-movies, or Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com, and also join the quest through those medium. Today, we are talking about Oscar, the Academy Awards that were on just a few nights ago, and Brian's and my reaction to them. We'll just have some general discussion about the broadcast, some of the movies that were nominated and won, and then we'll each give, for the top five, our top five Oscar moments from this year's broadcast, the 90th of the Academy Awards for the motion pictures of arts and sciences or what have you. Brian, let's start in this place. Before on our podcast and just in conversation with each other, you say you usually try to watch every movie that gets nominated for an Oscar, sort of as a mini quest, a side quest, if you will. Were you able to do that this year?
I was. This is my first year to actually complete what they call the Oscar death race. I didn't finish it until Sunday afternoon. The one that was, I think, going to be the hardest for most people to track down prior to the ceremony. It was a foreign film out of Lebanon called The Insult. And I didn't think it was going to happen. I thought I was going to be one short, but it managed to sneak on there, and I was able to watch it. Like I said, Sunday afternoon. So I finished it with a couple hours to go.
So usually at this initial part of the podcast, we ask you what the last movie you watched was. So I want to get there, maybe in a little bit different way. But first, tell me, how did you track down all these movies, particularly that film?
Well, most of them, you can either, most of the big movies, you can watch them at the theater. You can, Shorts HD usually puts out the, documentary shorts, animated shorts, and live shorts. They usually do that about a week to go. Several of the films this year, or more so than they have been in the past, were available via streaming services like HBO and Netflix. At one point, like the last animated feature that I hadn't seen, The Breadwinner, dropped on Netflix like maybe 10 days before the Oscars. And a lot of times what used to happen in the past was the documentary shorts particularly, they'd be bought up by people like HBO, and HBO would have a plan to put them on after the ceremony. Well, the last couple of years, people like myself that are wanting to see them ahead of time sort of pressured HBO to up that release date. And they did that this year for Traffic Stop, which was the last documentary short I had to see. So, it's just, and there's forums you go on, you see where people are seeing, so you kind of can track them down that way, to see where the best place to try to find these movies are. And usually, there's one or two that are either you're not going to see or going to be very difficult to get a hold of.
Well, that wasn't the case this year. So you are in a great position to say, what is the best film of 2018? That you personally saw that was nominated for an Academy Award? Not necessarily the Best Picture nominees, just what your favorite was overall.
Well, I think one of the nominees that's going to stay with me, and I think was a very effective film, is going to be Coco. I really liked Coco. I think it was a very sweet film, and we've talked about it in the past, but it's like up in reverse.
Right.
you build, and then all of a sudden you're like, a little bit of a weeper. I like Three Billboards. I think Dunkirk is going to have staying power. I think it's going to sneak up on people. Dunkirk really reminds me of more of like a 10 years ago. It would have been tailor made for Oscar season, right? It would have been the movie that you just knew would have checked all the boxes that an Oscar winner should have. Now, as we transition into a new makeup of the Academy and a new way of thinking about what the Oscars represent and how they're decided and all this, and the politics underneath them shifts. Those type of movies are not necessarily as slam dunks as they once were to win the award, but I think Dunkirk will have staying power.
Yeah, I wonder too if Dunkirk maybe was not as highly recognized as it was when it initially came out, simply because of the time it came out too. It came out kind of summer.
It's hard, but you say that though. But Get Out came out February, and it managed to have legs to last until over a year after its premiere. So that's not always the case, but it's just gotta be able to ride a crest. You know what I'm saying? You gotta have some reason or some sort of like momentum to build behind a movie, and it's just really hard to come out pre-September and stay in people's minds.
Well, maybe that's actually a great entry point into just the larger conversation about this year's Oscars and thinking about Get Out and a movie like Dunkirk. Dunkirk, war movie, kind of a traditional, maybe tailor-made Oscar. Get Out, a superb film, wonderful, amazing work by Jordan Peele. Also reflects, a film that is awarded and recognized in part because of its diversity, its theme, its writer, director, and that sort of thing. So he came into Academy Awards with a little bit more. The Academy's moved further along from when it didn't nominate any person of color, and Get Out maybe a symbol of that. But then he had a lot of other films, that also were maybe groundbreaking or innovative in some ways. But my sort of sense was there was this tension at the Oscars between we're kind of starting a new chapter, but we're really only at the start, and we're sort of playing it safe maybe a little bit, at least in the sense that there didn't seem like there were many surprises at the Oscars when it came to who won and who got the awards.
Yeah, I mean, well, the last couple of years has been the last 2 years, the Best Picture race has been sort of muddied, and I think that is the hardest to predict, in part because of the way they do their voting. It's a preferential ballot. It's not a like most votes for first. It's you rank all nine of them, and then it's somehow. And I don't know exactly the mechanics of it, but the way their ballot is done is just different from all the other major awards where it's just whoever got the most votes wins. This is like whoever got the most first place votes, whoever got the most second place, they just weighed in and all this kind of stuff. So it's harder to predict. And I think that's why we wind up with stuff like what happened last year where everybody just assumed La La Land won. It won Best Actress. It won Best Director. It was the favorite going in. And it's just hard to... hard to imagine how it couldn't, but that's because we just don't know the way things are working. Especially now, not only do they do preferential ballot, they now have anywhere from 8 to 10 nominees, so you can cannibalize each other a little bit. So it's a much more difficult prognosticating Best Picture than anything else. But like with director, the Directors Guild of America, they have their awards a month earlier, and they're a pretty good indicator. The Screen Actors Guild's a pretty good indicator so you have major indicators for the other awards, which make it a little bit easier. You at least know who you can usually narrow it down to at least two contenders,
Sure. I guess what I'm saying though is it just seemed to me like for the most part there just weren't any huge surprises. Like the heavy favorites all won. Big Picture really was the biggest question.
The one thing I will say surprised me a little bit. I kind of thought that when this is an award that maybe a lot of people weren't paying attention to, but Best Documentary, I thought the French film with Agnès Varda would win. She had just won this Oscar, so it's a governor's ball. She was awarded an honorary Oscar, so I thought she would be. She's a revered elder statesman of French cinema and been around for a long time, and I thought it would be a nice little, she won an honorary Oscar, and then we'll also cap it off with her first competitive Oscar. I thought that would happen. Instead, they did the one that was the anti-Russian doping film, Icarus, which is a great movie and very important work, and not to you know, it's an amazing film, actually. But and it was just this, he accidentally stumbles on this huge scandal and happens to be documenting it. So it's a deserved winner. I just thought that she might win.
What do you think was the most stacked category? The category that, you know, if anyone had won in that one, you would have been like, yeah, I can buy that.
I think Best Supporting Actress was pretty, I mean, even though I get the feeling that Allison Janney won it pretty easily, I thought that Laurie Metcalf had a chance, and I would have been pleased with that. But you have, you know, Octavia Spencer, a previous winner, also in the category. You had Mary J. Blige, who was turning heads. I feel like it was probably the closest. Best Actor, I think that for the most part, it was decided months ago that Gary Oldman was going to be his year. He was going to win one. It felt like Frances McDormand. Felt like if it was a couple weeks later, maybe Saoirse Ronan might have had a chance to catch Frances McDormand. Felt like there was some momentum building for her, but it just, she didn't have enough time, ran out before she could make the move. And Best Supporting Actor, I guess it could have been Woody Harrelson, but I don't really think anybody else in that category could have won. So.
See, I would have gone with Best Song, and maybe that's just a soft spot for me, and something that I think the broadcast always does really well is the performances of the songs. Now, I know, you know, knowing that Coco is your favorite, you're completely fine with that.
I like that song. I love the This Is Me song. I mean, I know that was a beautiful song done at the ceremony, and that song is so theatrical, so empowering, and so memorable, and she did a fantastic job with it.
And I think what those raise in some ways, at least the thought that I had, I don't know how much we want to talk about this, you know, do you think people win Academy Awards based on one of the following two criteria? The first is just simply the objective, like, value and excellence of a certain performance, or B,
I think that's the threshold, or is it B
though, how well that performance fits in to the overall structure of the movie? Because I think you could argue perhaps that This Is Us song could possibly be a better song than Remember Me from Coco. But Remember Me comes and is a constant theme and comes with the most highest emotional climax of that film.
Especially in some of these categories that, especially now the people that are voting, the Academy members that are involved in the scoring and songwriting for movies and those people, they are, I think, probably have a higher standard of excellence for what they will vote for. But for the other members of the Academy, the actors, the directors, the people that aren't as intricately involved in that process, I think for them it winds up a lot of times being, who do I feel comfortable with winning? And I think that part of the reason why Remember Me won from Coco is it was written by the people that wrote Let It Go. So I think that's easy for them. When they see that name, they know who that is, and they say, oh, must be good. So I think that happens a lot, especially for these more technical awards, just because I don't know how well they know how to judge. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you know? And when you talk about sound mixing and sound editing, most people, I mean, even people involved in the industry, I don't think they really know the nuance, know what makes it good, because that's just not what they deal with.
Do you think that may have been why The Shape of Water also won? Because from the outside looking in, and I've not seen all these films, not seen The Shape of Water, but from the outside looking in, you know, sci-fi, romance, it's hard for me to kind of wrap my brain around that that's the best movie of the year. But then when I see Guillermo del Toro,
yeah,
as the director, and thinking a little bit what she's seen, it's kind of his time. Kind of like with Gary Oldman. Do you think that plays into that?
I think there is, you know, especially the big awards. I think, because we are dealing with huge personalities. See, and part of the reason why I think Jordan Peele won for Best Original Screenplay is in, and he's the first African American to win the screenplay award. And I think part of the reason why he won is because he is incredibly likable. You know, and I think that's part of the reason why somebody like Spike Lee, despite how talented he may have been during his peak years and the great work he may have done, he's harder to like than Jordan Peele is. I think because Jordan Peele has, you know, through Key and Peele and through everything else, everybody, you have an attachment, a fondness for him and his work, that he's not as confrontational, not as in your face, and that kind of stuff, I think, whether they say so or not, I think it matters in how people vote, because a lot of this is very personal for people, you know.
So what would you say, in addition to the winners, what were one or two other big takeaways from this 90th Academy Awards? Do you think they played that piece up enough? Maybe thoughts on that, or other, any other
I
big
don't.
Takeaways?
I'm a little surprised. I mean, I'm a big sucker for, like, big anniversaries anyhow, so I thought they could have, like, you know, and I know it's not quite the 100th, and I would hope that for the 100th they would play them. I loved the montages they did with the actors. I thought that was really cool. Before all the acting awards, they had a montage of not all, but some of the people that had won, because I noticed that in Best Actor, Casey Affleck's performance was missing.
Right.
So, you know, so I know that because I was looking for that, because I was wondering, I was like, oh, well, what are they going to do? So they didn't do all, but they did a really good job. They did a good job of sort of telling a mini little story through those, and I thought that was really good and really effective, and a great way to remind people of the films maybe they haven't seen, or to expose them to films they haven't seen. I'm always curious why, like, the in memoriam section, why, how do they determine who gets in and who doesn't? Like, who makes that call, and who's going to begrudge you if you spend an extra 5 minutes to get these other people in for their moment of, like, remembrance?
Yeah, none of those people's faces are up there for that long amount of a time. So, yeah. I didn't understand some of the people who got stuff, particularly Glenn Campbell. I didn't understand. And I know there were a couple of other, actually, award winners who didn't make
the
final.
Yeah, Dorothy Malone, who was a former award winner in the 50s, she was not. And I would think that winning an Academy Award should, unless circumstances can, you know, obviously, I don't think Kevin Spacey will necessarily, and Harvey Weinstein's not getting in memoriam, but, you know, I would think that winning an Academy Award should get you automatic status, right?
You would think so. Of course, Adam West was left out, and, you know, I didn't, true confession, I missed probably the first fourth of the ceremony, so I don't know if there was any mention of David Ogden Stiers.
No, there was not. He died like a day or two beforehand, understandable, but still, you think you could have worked that in.
Yeah, somehow, some way.
Well, they didn't have Adam West, which I know he was not necessarily a big movie guy, but it still feels like he's a part of that community.
Right.
And there's no reason not to, at least, I mean, because all you got to do is throw his name up there for 30 seconds. Like, how hard is that?
Right. Well, I think that's yours and mine, probably most folks who had criticism for the Oscars.
The other criticism that I've seen some of, but I'm surprised hasn't been a bigger story than it was. How is Kobe Bryant winning an Oscar in this climate?
Right.
I mean, how is that? Here is a guy who credibly accused of, at best, sexual misconduct. Okay, that's putting it kindly. And that goes back
to my point of, you know, it's like this new chapter starting, some progress, but also this weird tension of, we're still not quite all the way there yet. And I'm okay not being all the way there yet, but the lack of self-awareness with that is startling, I think.
Yeah, I think Kobe won in part because he played for the home team. You know, I think a lot of the people who voted are probably either Laker fans or have an affinity for the Lakers, and so I think that's why he won. But even then, that feels like, how can you say both things at the same time? Like,
well, and that also, to me, you know, that ties in to, I think the theme of the evening was to actually do the opposite and lift up the opposite of what Kobe Bryant has done and the resiliency of women.
So
it does. It stands out all the more in kind of talking out of both sides of the mouth, as it were. So we're starting to get, it feels like, into maybe time for discussion, not just of our criticisms, but the things we really like. So we'll move on now to our top five moments of the broadcast. And I'll go ahead and start and say that my number five was them bringing Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway back out to redeem themselves. I thought they handled that very well overall, from Kimmel's first joke in the monologue to that moment. I thought that was done really well. So that was a favorite moment of mine.
Yeah, that was a good one.
What's your number five?
Number five, I'm happy that Sirius Black is now an Oscar winner. I think Gary Oldman winning was a good moment for him, but I think he's a fantastic actor who deserves the award. Now, his politics are weird. because it feels like one minute he's reliably liberal, and then the next minute he's like saying something that is like, huh? How do you hold those two positions at the same time? You know, so he doesn't fit into any kind of a cookie cutter mold. And some of that may be translation of across the pond and the way things work. But still, I'd put his resume of incredible performances up against almost anybody's. And say it stands. So to think that he was not going to be an Oscar winner would have been a pretty egregious error, I think. So
now, of course, his ex-wife also has accused him of abuse. So he may also be in the good company of aforementioned Oscar winner, Kobe Bryant.
Is this the same ex-wife that was nominated? Because she was nominated last night, or Sunday night as well, for Best Supporting Actress. And I assume that's his only ex-wife, but I don't know that. Which I thought was awkward, but no. As it turns out, he's had about six or seven ex-wives, so never mind.
So there you go.
I forgot that he was married to Uma Thurman at one point.
That's strange. I did not know that.
I
will go with number four, the part of the broadcast that just made me, the most happy, even though it wasn't my favorite one. We mentioned already the performance of This Is Me.
It was showstopper.
That was just amazing.
Yeah, she was fantastic. Yeah, she every time she sung the song, it's been great that I've seen her sing it, and she was great.
It was just fantastic, and just sort of filled you with a nice warm fuzzy feeling. So, what about your number four?
Number four, I'm sticking with the same sort of thing. I was pleased that Frances McDormand is now a two-time Academy Award winner. She always does phenomenal work. She's kind of a quirky sort of I don't give a shit kind of lady that just, you know, and the character was that too. But I like Frances. She always picks interesting things, and I'm happy that she won. Because, you know, there's... being an Oscar winner is one thing. Being a two-time Oscar winner, you sort of think of that person a little, that you know, that they're a little bit above. And I'm glad Frances could do that.
Frances is part of my number one. I'll share some further thoughts when I get there. But my number three, I just want to give a shout out again to Jimmy Kimmel. I just think he is almost perfect for the role of Oscar host. He just seems so effortless with what he does. His monologue was great. I had to watch this on YouTube because, like I said, I missed it live. But watching the monologue and his introduction with the old-timey film reel, that was just, you know, will Emma Stone win again? No! that was just great. The jet ski thing was fantastic.
The jet ski thing was fantastic.
The one subtle dig at Matt Damon That was just, it was fantastic. He was great. I hope he hosts the Oscars a bunch of more times.
Number three. I wish that was a standard thing, because that was fantastic. Number three for me, he had been nominated, I think, 12 times before, and not won, and that was the cinematographer, Roger Deakins. So I am glad, because when somebody has been that excellent for that long a period of time, to think that they are never going to get that nomination, really, to get that win, it gets a little depressing. So I'm glad that he was able to get one out. He has done phenomenal work. He's worked with the Coens mostly, but he won for Blade Runner 2049 and well-deserved win.
All right. Number two, kind of continuing on the theme of number three for me, was just simply the comedy of a number of the presenters, most notably Maya Rudolph and what's Haddish?
Oh, Tiffany Haddish.
Tiffany Haddish. They were fantastic. And then Jennifer Lawrence and Jodie Foster coming out and making fun of Meryl and doing that, and Meryl being so game with it. Usually those things are always so stilted and not funny at all, and it becomes even a parody of itself. Hey, look at us, be stilted, not funny. But those people were just genuinely funny and great and charming, and I just loved it. It was just, it felt like a breath of fresh air.
We're at number two now, right?
Right.
I will say one of the things I'm most enjoying right now is the genuine sense of like chumminess that a lot of the young, particularly the young actresses in Hollywood right now, seem to have with each other. You read the story, but it seems like Emma Stone, Jennifer Lawrence, Margot Robbie, they're all just real buddy-buddy on and off screen. I think, and it's just Brie Larson's in that group. And it feels like that they're all real supportive of one another. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of rivalry, although there certainly could be. But, it remains to be seen how that'll play out. But I like that. I like that as opposed to being, like, in your own little world. That it doesn't feel like a community.
So is that your number two, or do you have something else for that?
No, I'll say that's my number two. I mean, okay. I'm enjoying that. I'm enjoying, because their interaction, and it's just, it makes it more pleasant.
Well, that sense of community, I would say, plays into my number one. And it started with the Me Too, Time's Up kind of trio of actors. The first three people to publicly accuse Harvey Weinstein, minus Rose McGowan, the fourth, but to be up there and make a presentation, the montage that follows, and then Frances McDormand getting all the women in the theater to stand, doubling as an FU to Weinstein, to Spacey, to all, folks who have abused their power in horrible ways, and to really say, we're not going to shut up. You can throw in Emma Stone, too, when she was presenting Best Director. These four men.
Greta Gerwig.
Yeah, Greta Gerwig. That was great. And for me, that was the best part, where it really did feel like, okay, this is not a one-time thing. This is not going anywhere. This is going to continue to be part of our conversation. I really appreciated that. That's my number one moment of the Oscars. What about you?
My number one moment was probably, and I think this will be, in all said and done, I think this will be probably, potentially, the biggest moment from the evening. And that's the excitement that followed when Jordan Peele won for Get Out. It was, I think, the place lit up, because, like I said earlier, I think everybody likes him. I think he just oozes likability. You just want to root for the guy.
Right.
And I followed up a little bit afterwards, because I was curious what Key thought of Jordan's win.
Right.
And,
he said it's his first Oscar.
Such a cool story, such a cool, it's fantastic.
That's great. Well, friends, those are our top five moments from this year's Oscars. Share your top five with us on Twitter at 10kmovies, or go on Brian's blog and leave a comment, 10kmovies.com. Thank you again so much for listening and being part of this journey with us, and We will be back with you in another couple of weeks. Until then, we hope your week is a 10.
10 plus.
Borderline. Line alert.